Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Why don't Mormons smoke or drink alcohol? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me to discuss this question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We are wrapping up our series discussing this article that is found on the LDS Newsroom website, an article called Mormonism 101 FAQ, or Frequently Asked Questions. And we've been going through during the past broadcasts at looking at some of these questions and coming to the conclusion that many times the questions are not answered all that precisely, even though the opening paragraphs of this article says, as an institution, the church has the responsibility to publicly and clearly articulate its official teachings. As we've said before, this is an article that is supposed to guide journalists in how they report on the teachings of the LDS Church, and they basically kind of criticize them for doing a sloppy job, sometimes they say. And no doubt there are some people out there who are reporters who don't get some of the facts right. Many times I find that they are probably minor issues, but still, I think journalists do have a responsibility to get it right. But as this paper says, the church also has a responsibility to be clear.
Maybe the church would want to consider putting a link to our website with our podcast. And for the journalists there at the very end, they could say, to hear the rest of the story, listen to the past 3 weeks on our podcast, because we have covered carefully these questions, and they're not getting the information. The journalists who are trying to do stories to get the story right that the church wants them to get right, they need more complete information, I think.
Well, this question, I have to say, is probably not one that I would think most journalists would really ask. I can't recall, really, in my experience, anybody really wondering why Mormons don't smoke or drink.
It's always about coffee and the hot drinks and the tea.
Now that, if the question said, why don't Mormons drink coffee or tea, that sounds like a question that is probably more frequently asked than why don't Mormons smoke or drink alcohol, because there are a lot of people of religious faith that don't imbibe in alcohol. I don't drink alcohol. There are a lot of Christians, professing Christians, who don't smoke. In fact, I don't really know of any in my circle of friends that do, and I just don't. It's pretty much a given that that's something that's not good for you, because let's be serious. The first time you ever do try to smoke a cigarette, what's the thing you do? You cough and gag and... It's like your body's telling you, hey, stop this. Not good for you. So I don't know if this is even really a real question. I think, according to my opinion, I think it was thrown in here for the Mormons to just maybe boast a little.
Well, I think yesterday's question as well, why does the church send out missionaries? I don't think anybody's asking that question either. So I think these last couple, they've dealt with a lot of hard issues that a lot of people would point at the church and perhaps be negative with. These last two almost seem like, look at us.
Well, it starts off by saying the health code for Latter-day Saints is based on a teaching regarding foods that are healthy and substances that are not good for the human body. Accordingly, alcohol, tobacco, tea, coffee, and illegal drugs are forbidden. A 14-year UCLA study completed in 1997 tracked mortality rates and health practices of 10,000 members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in California, indicating that church members who adhered to the health code had one of the lowest death rates from cancer and cardiovascular disease in the United States. It also found that church members who followed the code had a life expectancy 8 to 11 years longer than the general white population of the United States. First of all, the question that comes to my mind, Eric, is what does this have to do with whether or not the Mormon church is actually a true Christian church?
Oh, it doesn't have anything.
Just because they happen to live longer, and I don't know what the parameters of the study were. See, it would be difficult for them to take a reading of evangelical Christians. It's easy in a focus group of Latter-day Saints, but evangelical Christians, okay, that, I would think that would be a little bit more difficult, because there is some diversity in the ideas of whether or not a Christian should drink alcohol or things like that. And of course, moderation is always the key to it. Drunkenness is always wrong. But we know that Mormons do prohibit that. But what this doesn't tell the journalist is that you have to abstain from coffee or tea, or you don't get exalted. You don't get the best the Mormon religion has for you.
Because you can't get a temple recommend without being able to say that you have abstained from those things.
That is one of the questions that Latter-day Saints are asked. Do they keep the word of wisdom, which is found in the Doctrine and Covenants? And if a person says no, and I happen to know for a fact, because I've talked to several people, but I knew one person in particular that told me the story, and he was, I believe he was in law enforcement. This was several years ago, and he was very much in shape, but he liked occasionally to have a glass of wine at dinner. But he liked to have a glass of wine with his dinner. And because he was honest about that, he was not given a recommend. He was not allowed to go to the temple. Had he died in that state, knowing that he was not following the word of wisdom, he would have had to have forfeit his exaltation. He could not have become a god in the next life. In fact, we know 10th President Joseph Fielding Smith actually says something like that. He said this in Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 2, page 16. What did Joseph Fielding Smith say?
He started off with the subtitle, Salvation in a Cup of Tea. And he said, you cannot neglect little things. Oh, a cup of tea is such a little thing. It is so little. Surely it doesn't amount to much. Surely the Lord will forgive me if I drink a cup of tea. Yes, he will forgive you because he is going to forgive every man who repents. But my brethren, if you drink coffee or tea or take tobacco, are you letting a cup of tea or a little tobacco stand in the road and bar you from the celestial kingdom of God where you might otherwise have received a fullness of glory?
Now you see, this shows that holding on to the word of wisdom is actually a salvific issue. But that's not the way the word of wisdom starts off in the Doctrine and Covenants. It was not a command. In fact, many Mormon historians and theologians have recognized that when the word of wisdom was first given to the Mormon people, it was not a strict commandment. What does it say?
Well, verse 2 of section 89 in the D&C says, to be sent greeting not by commandment or constraint, but by revelation and the word of wisdom showing forth the order and will of God and the temporal salvation of all saints in the last days.
So what happened was is that the leadership in the Mormon church took something that was clearly a suggestion, albeit maybe a good suggestion, and decided to take it a notch further and make it a commandment. In fact, Spencer Kimball said, the word of wisdom is a commandment. In 1851, President Brigham Young gave to this church the word of wisdom as a final and definite commandment. From the time it was given to the prophet Joseph until 1851, it was considered a matter of preference or suggestions to the people. A word of advice and counsel. From 1851 until this day, it is a commandment to all the members of the Church of Jesus Christ. What we have here is that the LDS Church has actually ignored its own scripture. But yet, we know from the teachings of many leaders that you can't do that. You just can't do that. Well, of course, the president can do that. The president can change anything. That's why truth is always in a state of flux when it comes to Mormonism.
Well, we need to also take a look at the Bible and what does the Bible have to say about these things. Now, as far as alcohol is concerned, you were talking about earlier, alcohol is not something that the Bible has banned. In fact, Paul told Timothy to take some wine for his stomach ailment. Jesus turns in the first miracle he ever did, early in the Gospels, he turns water into wine at a wedding feast. It's the abuse of alcohol. It's the getting drunk on wine. That's the prohibition. But I think we need to understand, as far as tea, as far as hot drinks, as far as caffeine, these are not things that are going to be found in the Bible. And it's something that Joseph Smith came up with on his own.
Exactly. In fact, there have been a lot of studies that actually show that a little bit of alcohol and coffee is actually not bad for you at all and actually good for you. I have in my hand, I've collected articles on this subject for years. I just pulled out my files. This is what just came out recently. A study finds coffee drinkers live longer. One of life's simple pleasures just got a little sweeter after years of waffling research on coffee and health. Even some fear that Java might raise the risk of heart disease. A big study finds the opposite. Coffee drinkers are a little more likely to live longer. Regular or decaf doesn't matter. Another article here. Beer may be good for you. Studies suggest key is moderation, not
binge
drinking.
There we go. That's what Paul said.
Here's another article. This is 2007 in the Deseret News. A run to the coffee shop may fight skin cancer.
I bet Starbucks likes that.
Drinking coffee is good for the heart. Here's another one. Drinking coffee slashes risks of Alzheimer's. There's a lot of these studies. Coffee, exercise, fight skin cancer. Here's one. Alcohol leads to better sex. Okay, there's another one.
We won't go into that.
Everybody's going to run out and buy a beer on that one. Coffee may prevent mouth cancers. What do you do with this?
I think we need to come down to how did this get created? Marvin Hill, BYU professor, in Sunstone Magazine, March 1985, page 58. Listen to what he says. According to David Whitmer, Emma Smith, that was Joseph Smith's wife, was disgusted at the spitting of tobacco juice by the elders in a school in Kirtland, which is where the Mormons were in the 1830s, which was held above her kitchen. She said, "It would be a good thing if a revelation could be had declaring the use of tobacco a sin." The elders countered against Emma and the ladies by suggesting that the revelation should also provide for abstinence from the use of tea and coffee.
So it sounds like that prohibition actually stemmed more from getting back at Emma.
Absolutely.
Who didn't like tobacco being spit on her floor.
But she liked
really
her tea.
Revelation, a true revelation from the Lord. So there's even question about the origin of this teaching. So, if a Mormon doesn't want to imbibe in alcohol or drink in tobacco, that's great. Nobody's faulting that. But when you make it a salvific issue, you go beyond the teachings of the New Testament.
I think this is a topic probably in a few weeks. We should probably spend some more time on this issue.
Yeah, we've talked about doing that, and there is a lot that we can talk about. It would take at least a few shows, but it is a subject that does come up occasionally, but still, I think I would have to say that this question and this frequently asked questions is probably a bit contrived.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear past editions of more than 100 shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is available on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the box that says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.